AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Matt, Eric here. Eric, I might have stumbled onto the prettiest metro area park I've seen yet so far. As far as the feeling of you're in the woods. Once again, and this is not easy to do. I mean, you can go on out to the Carver Park Preserve and, Waconia and stuff like that, and visit some great parks. Go on out to Afton, great parks. But I'm talking within the 494, well, it's not in the 494, but in the main core metro area. I have found a park which is, I posted some pictures this morning of it. I'll post some more a little bit later on. It truly is the perfect place to go right now and just kind of relax and unwind. It's the lower extension of 9 Mile Creek.
Huh.
And it starts at 106th Street in Bloomington. So, and it's right off of 35W, but I don't think 35W, the ramps to 106, are open right now. So you've got to come in either off Old Shakopee Road or come off the 98th exit. So one of the ways there. But it is, and you have to take some stairs down. There is a ramp, but it is a steep ramp. So just, but there is a ramp. But once you get down to the bottom, it's relatively flat. I was stunned at how pretty this is. And I have been, I've been to so many parks in the last few months. We've been going on out.
Yeah.
The 9 Mile Creek at that point is actually, it's getting more to than a creek. It's a little, almost like a little river. And it's quite pretty. It's got all this beautiful scenic views down there. The green is spectacular. And it's one of those places where actually the closer you get to the river, by far the less attractive the park becomes. It's that stretch from 106 down to right before you get down. You can kind of see you can get down to the river where, things are thinning out. And you can see it's still a little damp from the overflow from the spring. And it is the flowers, the green, the creek itself, just spectacular. Now, there's not a lot of parking, but I would highly recommend that one. That one is one where you can go and you just – it's like I said, it's hard to even comprehend. I'm in Bloomington? I'm in Bloomington. Really? I am 3 blocks off of – oh, I think it's like 10 blocks off of 35W. Really? Okay. It really is nice. If you get the chance, go check out the photos. And I'll put some more photos up on the Twitter feed a little bit later on today. Still do not have an answer in the Gazelka case. And I'm going to – the Gazelka case. We're going to apply a crime here. what we're talking about is that, of course, there was the shocker on Monday. Bob Kroll, a letter that he had put out to the union, was released by former chief Jeanne Hartou, who basically said that in the note it said that he was working with the Senate majority leader and that the Senate was going to basically implement the strategy that he wanted over Governor Walz because Governor Walz had failed. And, of course, once again, on Monday – and I think that letter came out on Sunday, and then Monday – night and Tuesday, Gazelka was out. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean I was trying to overrule the governor? I would never – he's the commander in chief. But then it was brought to light that, well, wait a minute here. On Friday night last week, you went to the White House without talking directly with – now, don't give me this crud about text messages on Thursday and a press conference you had on Friday morning. You didn't voice talk with the governor until Saturday, your own admission. And you went to the White House, and your calm plea to the White House was, "We're doomed. Governor Walz has failed. Save us, Trump. Save us." And, of course, they're like, "Well, sure. Just have the governor give us a ring." And they're like, humana. No one has put a microphone in Gazelka's pie hole and asked him the question, okay, if you weren't trying to overrule the governor, why did you go over his head to the White House and try to get them to remove him, take over? You clearly were undermining him. You clearly were trying to usurp the dude, and you were. You were. You can say, I don't know. No, you don't go to Trump begging him to help because Walz is a massive failure as a sign of bipartisanship. I mean, come on, dude. So can one of the media outlets, when Midnight Oil over there pops his head out of his his cocoon, can one of you guys actually ask him, You know, hey, if you weren't trying to usurp the governor, why did you call the White House and demand they take over? Because I would love to hear that answer. And by the way, mind you, without talking to the governor before you called. You might want to just ask that. All right, we got a lot of news to get to with COVID-19. Actually, we're doing the Minnesota update first today. I'll get to a lot of other things, especially involving the city council and the Minneapolis Police Department here in a second. But first of all, Governor Walz this afternoon, they've actually announced it. He's lifting more restrictions designed to slow the spread of COVID-19, will allow for limited indoor dining, indoor entertainment in movie theaters and other venues, fitness club usage, and outdoor entertainment of up to 250 people. Okay, I want to make sure I say something very directly. Mark the tape, mark the day, Eric. I really hope that COVID-19 gradually fizzles out. We eventually get a vaccine, but you know, whether you need it or not, it is, you know, depends. I pray that that's the case. It's not the case. We still have 20,000 cases per day. We have still 1,000 deaths per day. Those are pretty steadfast numbers. And the reality is it's likely a lot worse. And I'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But it's a lot worse than it is. Now, that being said, I would love it. Okay, we're done with it. We're back to normal, normal school, normal everything. Everything's fine. Great. That'd be fantastic. I would be the first one to be happy with that. The reality is that I think we are a long way away from being done with this. And only a foolish person would say that a disease that's got 20,000 new cases per day, 1,000 deaths per day, is somehow wrangled. That's unbelievable that you would even think that. That being said, Governor Walz is taking the sign now. In Minnesota, even though our numbers are high, numbers are high because we tested a lot of people, which should tell you a lot about the other states. But we have somewhat flattened the curve, so that's why he's somewhat opening these things as well. Three sources briefed on the governor's plans confirmed at least the latest steps in the Star Tribune. As a matter of fact, let me pull these up here. There is a press release from the governor's office here. Restaurants can begin offering indoor. I think this is this June 10th? Yeah, on Wednesday, June 10th. So today is the 5th, so next Wednesday. Restaurants on next Wednesday can begin offering indoor dining while maintaining social distancing, requiring reservations seating no more than 50% occupancy. Indoor social gatherings can take place with 10 people or less. Outdoor social gatherings can take place with 25 people or less. Now, the 10 people or less with the restaurants, I don't know how that will work, but, well, needless to say, I'll figure it out. Here's the one that really kind of makes me a little scared. Gyms, personal fitness, yoga studios, martial arts may open to 25% of capacity. I've already had some discussions with some friends. I'm a member of the Y. And the Y I am at has a substantial elderly clientele. There's a lot of older people that go there. Just on my own, I'm not so concerned about them per se. I'm terrified I could be one of these people that doesn't have any symptoms, nothing. I could have coronavirus, have no symptoms or anything. I go in there and I take out 20 people, and that terrifies me. So even though gyms might open, I probably am going to go nowhere near this until they get to a point where probably 75% capacity, which is ways down the road here. But gyms, personal fitness, yoga studios, martial arts may open to 25% capacity starting on the 10th. Indoor entertainment venues such as theaters and concert halls can open up at 25% capacity. I don't know if you're going to see the movie theaters do that. On second run theater, older theater movies, sure. But you think they're going to all of a sudden whip out the Black Widow movie and just play to 25% capacity nationwide or in the state of Minnesota?
I don't see why the studios would release their movies at this time.
Exactly. I mean, what you're going to get is a lot of, you know, movies that are Nicolas Cage directed DVD stuff, you know.
So there's a bright side.
Yeah. Still plenty of room available, even though 25%. Come on in. We got one guy in there. Looks a lot like Nicolas Cage. Recreation indoor entertainment venues such as bowling alleys, arcades, and museums may open at 25% capacity. Bowling alleys are easy. That's every fourth lane. So, Personal services such as salons, tattoo parlors, barbershops may increase occupancy rates up to 50% while requiring reservations. Outdoor entertainment venues such as sporting events, concerts, and theaters may open to 25% capacity. Places of worship can increase occupancy rates to 50%. The sporting events. You know, how are you? I mean, I got big questions about that. I mean, have you been to? Let's go to Target Field, okay? Baseball, which I don't know if that's going to come back. I mean, there's problems that they're having with the owners and the teams, the players. But let's just say a Twins game. I mean, have you ever gone to a Twins game where the concession stand wasn't 40 deep?
No, I mean, even if you space out the seating, every point of entrance, every sort of restroom, you're still going to be packed in.
Are you going to have every third, you know, and well, the men's room is also that delightful trough. So are you going to, what are you going to do there? I mean, I'm not trying to be blithe here. I mean, I'm asking seriously. You know, to go to the upper deck, you have to all go up the same escalators in the upper deck, or are you going to make us all hike that damn ramp you guys built? Thanks for that. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to pull this off, but they're going to try. And hopefully this thing doesn't come back and bite us in the caboose so much. It's people are going to be like, why in the world did we ever try to do this? And by the way, if things do go bad, mark my words, the same Republicans who are screaming, open everything, will be like, why did Wolves do this?
Yeah, well, now they can just blame it on the protests.
Well, they can.
So.
Don't think they will. Don't think they won't do that. Of course they will. University of Minnesota President Joan Gable will recommend the Board of Regents next week that the fall classes will be held in person in residence halls reopened. Gable also said will suggest that each campus adjust their academic calendars to conclude by Thanksgiving or earlier if state health officials deem it necessary. Her recommendations come after several weeks of deliberations. At next week's board meeting, she'll also discuss plans for personal health monitoring and protocols. Oh, yeah, in dorm rooms, in dorm halls, good. They're going to be a lot more cleaning and sanitizing. I hope. It'd be great. It would be great. Here's my problem I get with this university. My son's going to go to the U, right? I guarantee you, part of me feels like, okay, are you announcing this just so that you get the people in there and then by October 1st when you're sending everyone home because coronavirus is everywhere – you're saying, well, we can't refund your housing and food payments. Those are ours now. So I just because if they don't start school, they don't get that stuff. Let's be honest with you. I mean, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money for that school. Needless to say, it's not all sunshine and roses here when it comes to coronavirus. Here is the latest update for today. A reminder, the continued threat of the disease, 712 newly lab-confirmed cases of the disease, 33 deaths today. The toll of the pandemic in Minnesota now stands at 26,980. Known cases, 1,148 deaths, including 922 deaths of mostly elderly residents of long-term care facilities and assisted living facilities. Hospitals had 478 COVID patients admitted as of Friday, including 220 who needed intensive care. That number is lower. The number of ICU patients was the lowest it has been in 12 days. That's good news there. Health officials warned that a recent encouraging signs, including only 404 new cases on Thursday, shouldn't result in complacency or disregard for social distancing. Oh, forget about that. No one's. It's sunny out, man. We can go do whatever we want. Woo! I heard from so many people that were out drinking on the patio the other day when the pouring rain came through that all of a sudden we're drinking inside the bar, which is not supposed to be what you're supposed to be doing, but that was kind of what happened. So to me, 20,000 new cases a day, 1,000 people dying a day, that seems like an alarming number. But I think what it's going to take is, if God forbid it goes back to the numbers it was at the worst levels of this, where you're getting, 35, 40,000 new cases every day and you're getting 3,000 to 4,000 new deaths every day, will even people listen? You said it was bad once and then it got better. Now you say it's bad again. I don't trust you. I'm going to stay out and I'm going to go to the movie theater and watch my Nicolas Cage movie. So... The state continues to recommend the wearing of non-medical grade face masks and staying 6 feet apart from others in public reduce the spread of COVID-19 even as government restrictions scale back. Churches are allowed to resume services at 25% capacity with more than 250 people last week. That's once again also going to get opened up. It does sound like the churches are going to be able to get back to 50% capacity. Recent protests over the May 25th death of George Floyd, where police custody could result in a new wave of infections. We'll have to see how that goes. Once again, what's interesting about this disease is the people that seem to get the sickest from it, that are the people that get it really bad. They're not dying. They're actually younger. The younger people, they're the ones that get sick and they're basically sidelined for 3-4 weeks. The people, almost all the people who are dying from the disease are 70 and older. It really has got some interesting dynamics to this. And, of course, obviously the cases of diabetes and other underlying conditions is also playing a role in this. But needless to say, good news, bad news? I don't know. I would love it. I would love it if this would go away. I would love it if this would go away. The reality is I don't think it's going to go away, and I don't think it's going to go away nearly as easily as it's looking right now. I'm the guys on the boat in Jaws waiting for the fin to come back up again. That's where I'm at right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got some other stories to get to, including I'm going to break down the markets. The economy makes no sense. I'll explain that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Alex of Better Futures Minnesota. Does your business or organization need janitorial services, lawn care, or snow services? Obtain a free, no-obligation estimate from Better Futures Minnesota when you mention that you heard about us on AM 950. Our supervised, hardworking, and affordable crews will handle your interior and exterior building and property maintenance needs while you help men in your community transform their lives and walk on a positive path to success. It's a win-win. To learn more, go to betterfuturesminnesota.com under business services.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Boy, I'm getting finding out there's this case up in Fargo. Big Erbs is a chain up there, apparently. And apparently there is some woman who was, you know, saw is it Tamara Johnson? Apparently, she saw some minorities in Big Irv's and decided to start screaming at them. God, that stuff is ugly. It's ugly. There's just so much ugly out there. I'll get more on this. A friend of mine is letting me know about this stuff. I'll get more on this and I'll get back to you. But it sounds like an ugly situation up in Fargo area as well. 952-946-6205. Thanks, Todd Colid, for sponsoring AM 950 this week. You can, too. If you'd like to buy ads on the station, just give us a call, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. And Todd, of course, wants to make sure everyone knows to go check out that. There's lots of ways you can help. GQ had a great article. Oprah as well had a good article she posted out that had a lot of lists of places you can make donations, help out during these the trying times here in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. So go check those out. I'll get those posted up on social media a little bit later on. And thank you very much to Todd for helping to sponsor AM 950. Okay, so I want to – what today, I don't know if you saw this, but the stock market went cray-cray. Everything's back to normal outside of the 13.3% unemployment. So what had happened was this. Most experts looked at where things were at. We're expecting an unemployment rate close to 20. The unemployment rate did not come in at 20. It came in at 13.3. It was actually an improvement from last month. Non-farm payrolls rose by 2.5 million. Wall Street estimates that have been a decline of 8.3 million, a jobless level of 19.5, which would have been the worst since the Great Depression. There is – and first of all, I want to make sure we understand. This isn't created jobs. Much of the gains came from these temporary layoffs. So this is – what they're trying to do is like, look at all these new jobs. No, it's the people that were laid off – for coronavirus, going back to work. And whether or not they should go back to work remains to be seen. But the whole thing is a joke. It's a sham. I have for a year and a half talked about how the markets, the stock markets particularly, make no sense. Because every other economic indicator in this country, bond market, currency market, trade market, the deficit, the GDP, farm, the ag markets, nothing, housing market, nothing is echoing what the stock market was doing. The stock market was its own creature. But needless to say, here comes coronavirus and everything collapses because there was no there. What you had was corporations who were buying back their own stock who were, when all of a sudden the coronavirus came in, they stopped buying stock and everything crashed. The White House panicked. And they did. They panicked. So what they did was what you are seeing here is a very coordinated attack to try to, A, downplay the economic severity of this, and B, give Trump back something an attaboy. Trump is one of these people that likes shiny objects. They're trying to give him back one of his shiny objects in an economy. And at the same time, they're trying to make it seem like things are back to normal, and they're not. 20,000 people every day, new cases, 1,000 deaths, and both those numbers are grossly underreported, and I'll explain in a second here. So what did they do? They said, okay, how do we get the stock market? Because once again, this morning I went up in the ag markets. Farm foreclosures are still at record lows. The traded market's getting worse. China is now basically saying they're not going to allow certain American products in. And now there's this whole big kerfuffle about insecticide or herbicide that is out there that is the FDA and the EPA had said, oh, well, these companies can test themselves. And now it's come back that this herbicide and stuff is actually quite dangerous. And so there's been a court ruling that you can't use it anymore. Well, there's a lot of people that have already planted the plant and sprayed the stuff. So what do you do with that stuff? And the White House's mentality is, come on, let them eat it. The equivalent of the guy in the frat house who will, for $5 will eat anything. That's where we're at there. So the ag markets, a great example of that. Nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Well, what they did is the first two economic stimulus packages that came on out, which is deficit spending. We went and borrowed a bunch of money and they gave it to Wall Street, to corporations, and to wealthy people and said, we are going to give you this with nothing else. You don't have to pay it back. You need to go and gamble on Wall Street. They basically turned the stock markets into Vegas, and they gave the people free money to do so, trillions of dollars of free money that we are going to have to pay back, and that even if they make money on their gambling venture, they have no responsibility to pay us back as taxpayers for giving them that money. This is really – it was insanity. It's a really bad thing to do, But they did it. And so they made our deficit worse, dramatically worse, took a whole bunch of money that they borrowed, gave it to wealthy people, and said, gamble away. And they did. And that is why the stock market has been gradually going back up, because they're paying people to gamble. You'd be going to Vegas, too. Well, maybe not coronavirus, but you'd go to Vegas, too, if someone said, here's $20,000 just for gambling. Really? And I can keep all the money? Yeah, sure. Pocket it all. You lose, you win. It's all yours. So, and it's, and that was what it is. So that is why the stock market, even when there's rioting in the streets, when every state has rioting in it, is up 300 points, is up 400 points, is because they were fixing the market. What happened today was plan two. This goes back to late, about mid-April, when the White House called Republican governors and said two things are going to happen. One, you are going to push your residents back into the workforce, regardless if there's a danger or not. You're going to do this. Because we can't allow these people to sit and be healthy on the sidelines, so we need to have them all go back into the workforce. And two, you're going to start underreporting coronavirus cases and death numbers. And by doing the two of these things together, you'll make it seem like America is healthier, we're all getting better, and then you'll put everyone back, and they'll look like jobs are coming back. And that's what they did. What are you seeing here? The jobs that came back, leisure and hospitality, represented almost half the jobs gained. Low-paying, simple jobs. And folks, this is, people aren't healthy. I mean, they're having huge problems in states. The first states that reopen out this stuff and start send everyone back in, they've actually got really bad problems with coronavirus. But they don't report it as coronavirus. There are plenty of Republican states where the order is that unless it definitively is coronavirus, you find something else to blame the death on. That's why there are states with record numbers of pneumonia deaths. And people are like, why are you having so many pneumonia deaths? Well, they're coronavirus deaths, but they can't label them coronavirus because they don't want the numbers to look bad. This is a dog and pony show. And what is really egregious about this is that you're hanging your hat on people going back to the same job they had before, not new jobs. It's not like we lost the economy and these are brand new jobs that are created. These were temporary holds that people have come back to. There are an insane amount of people whose job doesn't exist anymore. Businesses have gone under. Some restaurants are not going to open. And in Minneapolis, we have businesses where they're gone after what happened. And those numbers are real. Those jobs did exist. Those numbers are not coming back. So the best, I was looking at some of the estimates. What's the best we could hope for the unemployment rate? The best is probably about 12% if things really do start turning around, because you have to get people to start restaurants again and start businesses again. And right now, people aren't doing that. I don't know many people are starting a brand new business today when you think to yourself that the best you can do is open up 50% capacity. This is all smoke and mirrors. My gut feeling is what's going to happen is eventually the market will get to a certain point. All the money people who are playing everyone else are going to pull their money out. The market's going to fall, and it's going to fall like we've never seen it before. My guess is because right now, if you're Wall Street, if you're corporations, if you're wealthy executives, you look at Trump like, he's an ATM spitting out free cash. Of course you're hoping that he wins because, hey, that's free money, taxpayer dollars. He will run the deficit to $100 trillion just so that he can have a talking point of, look, the stock market's not bad. My gut feeling is when Trump gets his ass handed to him on November 2nd or 3rd, what day, one of those days that's going to happen, probably the Wednesday after the election loss for him, the stock market is going to plummet. And Republicans are going to look and say, see, Joe Biden win and the stock market's giving up. No, the stock market's basically just saying, well, I guess the free cash flow doesn't exist anymore. Well, I guess we're now basically depending on ourselves. Well, let's shut her down. We'll hunker down and we'll weather this thing and get to the other side. This is, do not look at the stock market. I mean, are you insane? Seriously, if you are a crazy person, you would put money into the stock market right now because it's going to be gone. And mark my word, it will. It will. Because you look at the fools who are throwing money in there saying, it's all back, it's all great. You got a 13.3, by your own admission, a 13.3 unemployment rate, which is still pretty bad. And your best hope right now is that everyone doesn't get sick as you basically throw everyone back into the communal pool. If this comes back, this economy is not going – well, most people have already said it will probably take 10 years for it to recover back to the levels it's at. That's why there's this desperate level to get the stock market back to that level. That's Vegas. And you want to know the truth is – you know, and I do have a portfolio. I've got investments. I got retirement accounts. And I got a very diversified, and I'm not nearly as much in stocks as I used to be. And the reason why is because this is just crazy. Because there is nothing else that's showing any positivity. And every time he needs another 300, 400 points on the Dow, we have to get another $1 trillion on the deficit. That is not a good rate of return. That is not a good rate of return. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Trump said something today about the stock market, which I'm going to warn you, I'm going to come back, tell you about, but oh my God. And then I get to talk a little bit about what's happening in Minneapolis with the police department. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If you're running for office or a grassroots ballot initiative, getting out door-to-door made a lot of sense before coronavirus. Progressive candidates historically win elections with one-to-one voter contact, door knocking, and by organizing. With coronavirus, candidates and ballot initiatives need to pivot and recalibrate with a digital marketing strategy to provide one-to-one voter contact and organizing opportunities. An effective digital strategy will likely determine if your race goes blue this year or whether you're singing the blues. So, if you want to be singing Hail to the Chief on Election Day, Social Media MN can help. For a hassle-free consultation, contact us today at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Quality and low prices are benchmarks of Rudy Luther. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty and feature incredibly low interest rates. This June, you can get financing at 0% on certified used RAV4s and Camrys for well-qualified buyers. But remember, this offer is only good for June. Find your next car today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950 membership is available to you. If you want to become a member of AM 950, just go to our webpage, am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And you can click on the link there, sign up either a one-time payment or a recurring payment. Thank you very much. And, of course, we do have special content. I will say this. Next week, we will have a brand-new interview with Tom Hartman that is only for members. We recorded it yesterday. It is just Tom, some great insight that he has into what's been going on in this country with the police departments, militarization of the police, just really interesting stuff. But the only way you can hear that is become a member. Go to AM 950 Radio, become a member. Thanks. Patricia in Plymouth. Roberta in Maple Grove, Arlen in Minneapolis, James in Golden Valley, Roberta in Minnetonka, Francis in Minneapolis, Carolyn in Minnetonka, Vicky in St. Paul, Gerald in Eagan, Jim in St. Louis Park, Paul in St. Paul, Vic in Mendota Heights, Julie in Minneapolis, Ellen in Andover, Donna in Andover, and James in Lauderdale. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that very much. 952-946-6205. Just one thing really quick. Someone saying, Matt, come on. Nine Mile Creek, the lower part of Nine Mile Creek, is prettier than Minnehaha Falls? No. Minnehaha Falls is the prettiest water feature in the entire metro area. Hands down. It is gorgeous. It is truly a wonderful thing to see. I will say this about the rest of Minnehaha Creek. It's not that it's not bad, but it's just, it's, you know, the cell is
yeah, the falls.
The falls. Once you go down, have you ever walked the rest of the way down to the river?
It's fine, but it's not fine. Spectacular.
Spectacular is that Nine Mile Creek. Nine Mile Creek is spectacular. Doesn't have the waterfall. That's Minnehaha Falls. You win on that. But as far as a walk goes, my goodness, that Nine Mile Creek is a gem. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. All right, who wants to get ready to swear? Me! Eric, raise your hand. You're going to swear. All right. So we have this economic news and the hairless toupee'd orangutan in the White House comes on out to have a press conference and brag about, see, everything back to normal. All those old people that died, they died so I can be proud of the fact that I am self-centered. This is what he said. Talking about George Floyd. George Floyd. As he brags about numbers on Wall Street. Once again, the numbers, which I just explained to everyone, are just comically manipulated. Quote, hopefully George is looking down right now and saying this is a great thing happening for our country. The stock market going back up. That's what he's saying, that George Floyd, who died 11 days ago when he was murdered by cops in Minneapolis, he's up in heaven going, isn't that stock market rise? Isn't that the greatest? He goes on to add, this is a great day for him, a great day for everybody. God, he took George Floyd. George Floyd was alive 11 days ago. And he's dead now because of Minneapolis police killing him. And today, because the stock market went up 800 points, Trump's out there saying it's a great day for him. Is there anything more disgusting than this just trash panda? Jesus, just what an horrible.
It's kind of beyond comprehension because even if you were trying to think of the worst thing you could say, it would never occur to you to compare those two things.
Not to say that the guy who just died of police violence in Minneapolis is up in heaven giving us the thumbs up on this. And you want to know the saddest part about this? Is that his followers love this. They love it. Not because it makes any sense. If you think this makes any sense, sweet Jesus, what is wrong with you? They love it because they hear us going, oh my God. And he's owning the libs. And they don't care that he just invoked a man who 11 days ago died at the hands of the police. And created an entirely false narrative that George Floyd is up there in heaven right now, thumbs up. He's happy because I got an 800-point increase on the stock market. They don't hear that. They just say, look at all those libs. They're angry. Oh, I love them. I love them. Like I said, these people, Trump could walk into their house, kill their grandmother, start having relations with the corpse, and they'd be like, I love him. Love him. Grandma was kind of a secret liberal anyway.
Oh, but Grandma would be smiling down. Wouldn't
she? Grandma would be smiling down here about how the fact that he put up a fence around the White House, isn't it? What an ass. God, I can't believe you idiots. You freaking idiots. I'm sorry you needed someone to validate your personal pity party and your racism. But Jesus Christ. And I say, I do say Jesus Christ too much. My wife has mentioned to me I'm saying that way too much. I got to actually stop saying it so much. Negotiators for the city of Minneapolis agreed with the state Friday to ban the use of chokeholds by police and to require officers to report and intervene anytime they see an unauthorized use of force by another officer. The changes are part of a stipulation posted online between the city and the Minnesota Department of Human Rights, which launched a civil rights investigation this week in response to the death of George Floyd. The city council is expected to approve the agreement on Friday. The agreement would require court approval and would become enforceable in court. Unlike the department's current policies in the use of force and duties to intervene, the agreement would require any officer, regardless of tenure or rank, to immediately radio or phone in from the scene the use of any neck restraint or chokehold to the commander or the commander's superior. Similarly, any officer who uses another officer sees another officer commit any unauthorized use of force, including any chokehold or neck restraint, must try to intervene verbally and even physically. If they do not, they will be subject to discipline as severe as they themselves using the prohibited force. The agreement also requires authorization from the police chief or a designated deputy chief to use crowd control measures, including chemical agents, rubber bullets, flashbang grenades, batons, and marking rounds, and will require more than timely decisions on disciplining officers. Meanwhile, a man who was with George Floyd on the night he died in New York Times, he told the New York Times his friend did not resist arrest and instead tried to defuse the situation before he ended up handcuffed on the ground and pleading for his life. This, by the way, I go back to the city council stuff here. This is, by the way, the first steps in us dismantling the Minneapolis police. And what they're talking about there is the reason why Arredondo, Chief Arredondo, could fire these officers is in the police handbook that they violated the handbook, the rules of the office. But you cannot hold them in court accountable for the rules of the police department. That's why we're changing this. The reality is I got to point out something here about this. Here, I want you to think about the most selfish jackass you can think of. His name is Bob Kroll. Bob is the police union head. Bob is right now hearing the entire police department is hated in the own city of Minneapolis. I mean, what? What's your popularity rate? 3%? Maybe 4%? The race is too stubborn to basically leave town? Out on the, you know, on the most extreme wealthy areas? But heck, I know a lot of people live over by the lakes and they're all liberals. They hate these guys. I don't know. No one in your town likes you as a police force. No one does. And on top of it, because of your continued bad behavior, the city of Minneapolis, not only have you guys lost all your extra income, and by the way, Vikings, Twins, T-Wolves, you guys should be basically putting the law down right now that you are not hiring any police department officials for overtime work on your facilities. How dare you? How dare you? Because you know what the truth is? We need to punish these guys. And one way to do that is take away their overtime. And you're seeing a lot of institutions pull their sponsorship of this. And if the Vikings or the T-Wolves or the Twins are going to – or anyone at the Gopher Stadium as well, if you're going to be paying police officers to be there, I'm sorry. That's a deal breaker right there. You need to go find some private security company and just remove your use of the Minneapolis police, because if we start drying up their overtime hours, that will – I have a feeling some of this might clear itself up. But you're Bob Kroll. You see the police department is hated. You see your overtime hours going, and you see the city council is actually starting to take steps because your mismanagement of the union is so bad. They are going to destroy the police department and start building it over again. And at no point does Bob come on out and say, you know what? Here it is. Let me sign it. Letter of resignation. Maybe negotiate. I'll resign. I'll resign now. I will agree to, but before I go, the union will agree to certain, you know, maintaining measures, but I don't get rid of the police department. I will leave. We will install an entire new regime of management at the union office. We'll get some diversity hires in the union office. We'll basically start, you know, monitoring the police action. You will not have a case like Derek Chauvin, where you have 17 complaints against you. 17! And at no point is anyone holding him accountable. Let's get this fixed. I'll sign my letter of resignation. I'll walk at the door. I'll never darken Minneapolis's streets again. Nope! Not Bob! Bob is willing to watch the entire police department get wiped out. The contracts they have all gone. A complete redoing of the police department. Because down deep inside, I personally feel he thinks it's all about him. You know, that's my suspicion. That's my guess. Is that because, I mean, so say I worked at AM 950 and everyone hated AM 950 and we're like this. I was like, you know what? I'll put my name on the thing. I'll resign. You know, I mean, I love the station. I'm not going to jeopardize the station.
But you're capable of acknowledging that something's wrong.
Of course I am.
Or I think Bob Cole thinks he's done this show. Everything.
I've heard this show. You've heard this crap fest. My God. It's like howler monkey exhibit at the Minnesota Zoo. I'm shocked you guys haven't changed the key card yet. But as you were saying about Bob Kroll.
Yeah, he doesn't think that he's done anything wrong. He's done a perfect job.
And you just nailed it. That letter that he put out where he sits and talks about, you know, and I'm paraphrasing Bob. How dare you hire them back? No charges. And build a statue to these four officers for doing social cause. Dude, man.
They're being persecuted for how good they are.
At choking a guy out. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. Bob, you are – he wants to look around at everyone and say, you know, it's not our guys killing black people. It's you people seeing us kill black people and not buying our story every time. It's disgusting. And so if he really cared about the police union, if he really cared about the rank and file officers, he would have the letter typed up today. He would walk into the city council meeting. He would sit there and say, here's the deal. We'll negotiate some changes and some oversight that is not currently in the union contract. Just don't kill the union. Don't kill the police department. Don't destroy us and rebuild from the bottom up. Let's try to maintain some of this and let's not hurt these guys there. Nope. None of that's ever coming out. I have no idea why not, because you know what? At this point, the only way you're going to save this police department in its current form is if there are some insane levels of acquiescing coming from the police union. And right now, no one's seeing that. And I'm frankly, if we're going to go down this road, fine. Police officers on the new police department will have to carry insurance. Every officer in Minneapolis will have to go through a mental evaluation. If there's a whiff of white superiority on you, if you are a white nationalist, a Nazi, or a KKK member, if we got a picture of you from 20 years ago with a ugly-looking tattoo that shows your real person, you're no longer on that squad. We'll put in all the rules. We'll make sure we clean that police department up and start over from fresh with a police department that is liked. If this is the only way we can do it, then let's do it. My salute to the city council. I hope you can pull this off. Brad's in Robbinsdale. Let's get him in really quick. He's been on hold forever. Welcome in, Brad.
Okay, well, this is sort of changing the topic here, but the only thing I found shocking about Bunker Baby's photo op at St. John's last Monday was that his hands did not burn to a crisp while holding that Bible.
I love the fact that, thanks, Brad. If you watch Colbert does a fantastic pantomime on last night's show of him like, how do I, Bible? we're not dancing today, but I got some music when we come back. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
We've been spending more time in our homes the last few months than ever. Have you looked at your floors? Are they just dirty? Or is it time to replace your flooring? Well, lucky for you, nobody knows carpet and flooring more than the experts at Zero Res. Z Floors by Zero Res partnered with Shaw and Mohawk to offer custom solutions to fit any lifestyle and budget. Whether you're considering carpet, hardwood, luxury, vinyl, or tile, Z Floors by Zero Res will bring their mobile showroom to you for a safe, free in-home consultation. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. So, I'm sad. I'm sad at all the crap that we've had to deal with so far in 2020. This year is insane. It is. It's sad. And I know everyone else is sad too. We know, we're all sad. We'll get through this. There always is an other side. And we will get there. Hopefully we get there soon. Arbor Day, rise up. This will take us out today. Have a good one. We're back on a Monday. Stay safe this weekend. Until Monday, see ya.
Of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we're going to walk it out. Ooh. We gon' walk it out and move on days. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up. And I'll do it 1,000 times again. And I'll silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying.